This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Raleigh's fashion scene might not be on a par with New York City, but designers like our very own Justin LeBlanc are working on getting us there. He teaches fashion and design at North Carolina State University, but his devotion to the craft goes beyond teaching. He was a finalist on the reality TV show Project Runway this season, and though he didn't bring home the crown, he did bring credibility to North Carolina fashion. And the collection he put together for the television show captured another important part of his life. Justin is deaf, and he says he told his story as a deaf man through his designs, and he joins us now in our studio. Justin LeBlanc, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me here today.
Tell us about the process, first about your decision to try out for Project Runway.
It was actually one of my good friends found the application, and I had nothing to lose, so I applied, and surprisingly, they called me back and went through the process. So it was definitely a crazy experience.
Do you have to send them examples?
They were the process. They were the paper application where I had to send answer question and so forth, as well as image of my work. And after that, they started to have a semi-finalist call back, and I went to Atlanta to do an in-person interview, and that's where I met one of the designers, Mondo, who was the past winner on the show, and took it from there, and they called me a week before they started filming and told me that I was on the show. So I didn't have a lot of time to pack, and I had to get everything together and go to New York.
You don't have to pack. You can make all your clothes when
you
get
there. That's true. That's true.
All right. So now you're the first deaf contestant in the show's history, and I understand the show adapted to having an interpreter, and viewers saw more of her as the season progressed. Tell us about that.
Yes. They were very accommodating because they knew that in order for me to get all the information that I need some kind of accommodation. And thankfully, they provided a sign language interpreter for the show. And they did an amazing job of providing the resource that I need so I can get equal access as the other competitor. And it was a good experience. And I'm sure it was a very exciting experience for my interpreter because she is a fan of Project Runway. So I could tell her trembling a little bit when she's standing next to Heidi and all of that. So it was a really entertaining experience.
Well, talk about your history with fashion design. Mm-hmm. When did you get interested in designing?
Well, I went to North Carolina State University to go with PAC. And I started in architecture in my undergrad year. And toward to my senior year, I decided to take a sewing studio. And I took a course under Lope Diaz. He's actually in the Walter magazine right now. And it was a art-to-wear studio. And I just started making garments. And my professor decided to tell me that fashion is my calling, not architecture, and I was just about to graduate.
What did you make of that?
I mean, at that time, I thought he was crazy, but the more I look at it, there's a lot of similarity between architecture and fashion, because in a way, I am drafting patterns to construct something. So it's just a different material. So for architecture, we have brick, stone, wood. For fashion, we have fibers. So it's just a transition of material, and it actually got me really excited. And
well, a transition in material, but also there might be a personal interest. I mean, do you have an eye for fashion, and was clothing design anything you paid attention to before?
I did not really have an eye for fashion back then, but I'm much more conscious about it. And to me, fashion is just a form of expression in order for me to express myself. And, I mean, I don't follow trends. I don't like trends. So I prefer to be ahead of a trend and just start creating things that inspires me and hopefully inspire other people.
Well, you did inspire people on that show, even though you didn't come away with the big prize. But talk about being on the show. What's the process? Because it seems to take place over a period of time, but apparently it's pretty compressed. It all happens very quickly, doesn't it?
The whole filming actually took within just a week time frame. And what's interesting is when you see on TV, it's not what actually happened most of the time. Some example, when we have a one-way show and we find out who won the challenge and who get out. And typically after the one-way show on TV, it looked like we all went back to our hotel and sleep and get ready for the next day. But what actually happened is we actually had our next day garment bag, and we changed into that garment, and within an hour after the one-way show, we pretend it's the next day, and we start the challenge. So it's a really it was a really draining process and trying to be alert at all times.
Well, and tell us about the design process. What is the challenge? What's the mission when you get to the show that everybody has to do?
For the challenge on the show?
Yeah.
Well, typically for the challenge, we have between 1 to 2 days to start designing and create the garment. And typically the design process would be a lot longer than that, preferably, so I can research and decide what I want to do. But you don't allow that on the show, so I had to go with my gut and just do what the first thing that is on my mind, because I don't have time to think. And that was the most challenging thing about the show.
Can you get a head start? I mean, are you thinking about this as you're packing and getting ready to go?
For the challenge?
For the challenge, yeah.
In a way, yes. I mean, you should have to really go with the flow on the show. And it's different from challenge to challenge. Because for some challenge, I do have an idea. And for some other, I don't. And it's just, I'm trying to remember everything from the show. It's just so.
Because the challenge, you do have parameters, so you can't have a design all made up because you're going to hear something, set of parameters that you're going to get that day, and you got to kind of. So, go ahead.
Oh, no, okay.
Well, so I wondered about that. So a lot of pressure to come up with a design quickly, and I guess they have people there who can stitch it all together and get you your stuff made, huh?
We have to make everything ourselves.
Do it all yourself, right?
So no help unless the other competitor want to help out. And that happened quite often on the show, actually.
You know, I wondered about that because you have competitors on the one hand, and it's a competitive industry, fashion design.
Yeah.
But you never really work side by side with your competitors.
No.
What was that like to be working next to people who have such a common interest?
I think it's a very exciting opportunity because we don't have that opportunity often, and it felt like a design hub because we are constantly giving feedback to each other. We're all talented, and yes, we are competing, but we're also looking out for each other. So in a way, they have become my little family, and I'm excited that I met these people on the show because they're all very talented. And they're definitely going off doing great things.
You had a pair of guns that played a big part in your whole appearance. There was the glue gun that almost became your undoing. We'll talk about that. And then there's the Tim gun who came to your rescue, famous fashion designer. Yeah. And so the deal is that you can get thrown off, right? The judges can say, okay, that's it. Enough of that. You can go. This happened to you.
Yes.
But Tim Gunn, the designer, has a save. And he decided that he would stay with you. So I want to just pick up this clip, and we're going to hear a little bit about how that went, because your design, and we may explain the glue gun. What happened at the very last minute, something in addition to your design that proved your undoing for the judges anyway. Tell us about it.
What happened when I got eliminated?
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely tried to do something new for that challenge, but I knew I was planning to save prior to that. And Tim Gunn encouraged me to do that, so I was thankful that I had his encouragement. But unfortunately, the judges did not see the same thing.
So you thought you were playing it too safe.
Yes.
And you decide to glue on, what was it?
It was glue gun lace. So
it was, I thought it was great. Now, there was one judge who said that it looked a bit like... well, she said it was a bit like foam coming from genitalia.
Yeah.
That's how she put it another way. I thought it was fabulous myself. There was something whimsical about it. But anyway, the judges didn't like it, and your contestants, and here's what I like. Boy, they all rallied around you. Let's listen.
We all thought Justin was going to win. I mean, it was such an original idea. That's why we all think the judges are stupid. He gets eliminated, and we don't understand it at all. Everyone is in tears. It's so sad. Tim comes in and uses his save, and everyone's like, yes!
I believe in your talent. You need a little more time here. I'm using my Tim Gunn save.
Sim, Tim Gunn save. To the rescue, tell us about working with Tim Gunn as a mentor.
Tim Gunn is a great person, and I definitely connected with him because he was a professor for 20 years. So I'm a new teacher right now, so we have that in common. And he is a great mentor. He's a very nice guy, so I'm glad that I was able to meet him.
Did you feel any additional pressure because of the save?
Of course. I mean, Tim Gunn is like one of my role model in a way, and I wanted, not only I felt additional pressure from Tim, but I did not want to disappoint him, but also all the other designers agree with him, so they have a lot of faith in me, and even though it's a competition, they were glad that I was safe, and it's just, I did not want to disappoint anybody on the show. I don't like disappointing people.
Did you learn anything from being on the program?
Definitely. I mean, it's been on the show, and it's a very competitive environment, but at the same time, it allows me to be true to myself, and I definitely learned a lot about myself, and it only made my passion for fashion grow stronger. So I'm really excited, and I'm just ready to keep making.
Tell us about the collection you created for Fashion Week.
For Fashion Week, I created a 10-piece collection. And one of the challenges was we had to make one garment out of unconventional material. So I remember when Heidi told us that we were going to Fashion Week, and the first thing that came to my mind was I want to be able to tell my story. Because in the past, I haven't been able to express how I felt. And I thought this was the perfect time to do it. So I ended up creating a collection to represent different time periods in my life before getting my cochlear implant. And getting a cochlear implant when I was 18 years old, so hearing for the first time. And after, like, the process of learning sound and accepting what I'm hearing these days. So it was a very personal collection for me, but I'm very happy that I did it.
You actually use sound waves mm-hmm. as part of the design, right?
Yes, a new sound wave and also new 3D printing to bring technology to the collection because the feature is now. So in a way, that's what I'm trying to show with my collection. And I mean, I love technology and I love science. I mean, that's why I use on pipette for the unconventional dress. To recreate the sound of rain. So, because it's something that I love now that I've never been able to hear before.
Well, tell me about that decision to get a cochlear implant.
Getting a cochlear implant is a personal decision I made when I was 18. I know I was encouraged to get a cochlear implant when I was younger, but I did not want to get it because, I mean, I am deaf. This is who I am, and I'm happy to be that way. And I identify myself as a deaf person. And when I was 18, I knew I was profound deaf, and just getting a cochlear implant is just a process. And I knew that I did not have anything to lose. So I figured, why not? I'll just try it out and see if it works. If it doesn't work, I'm still deaf, so it's nothing new. But thankfully, I did it because it was a great technology. It worked for me, and I'm happy that I got it. And, I mean, it definitely helped me in my situation.
How did it help?
I think one of the biggest challenges growing up is being able to communicate with people.
Right.
I mean, clearly, because sign language is my first language. And in my ideal world, I want everybody to be doing sign language. But I can't have it that way. So, and I wanted to be able to communicate with people without difficulty in a way.
Right.
And, I mean, it allowed me to hear things that I never thought I was able to hear before. And it definitely helped me work harder and get to places that I want to go to.
You know, it may have sounded like a mindless question to ask someone how it helped to have a cochlear implant, but it's not, because I know it's controversial for reasons that you talked about earlier, that your identity is as a deaf person, and mm-hmm. many deaf people will identify with that and say, look, I don't want this. I don't want this to change my identity. How has it changed your sense of yourself, your identity?
Well, I was one of those people who was against cochlear implant growing up, because I was afraid that cochlear implant was something that will cause her to lose the deaf culture. Because the deaf culture is a very unique culture. It's very weird. It's very, I mean, there's so much in it, and I love it so much. And I did see cochlear implant as a form of an invasion at the beginning, because it, I don't know, many people have different response to that, and I'm happy that I got it, but it doesn't mean I'm going to lose my identity, because I know who I am as a person. I'm a proud deaf person. Yes, I have cochlear implants, but it doesn't make me hearing. I'm still deaf.
What has this experience, this whole experience, particularly with Project Runway, done for you as a teacher? Do you bring any of this back to the classroom?
I have a lot more high expectation for my student now. So I'm actually, my student are presenting the final project tomorrow. So I'm really excited to see what they have come up with. Yeah. And I mean, this whole experience has allowed me to be even more passionate and encourage future local designers to emerge. And we have a lot of talented people. So I'm really excited for them, and I'm going to keep pushing them.
Well, what about that? The state of North Carolina certainly was had a you know, very important textile industry. It is still mm-hmm. a big industry in this state, although it's changed a little bit. The apparel industry is not as strong as it was. How important is it to a state like North Carolina to have had a history like that? You know, for you as a teacher, the kind of students you see at NC State, knowing the history we've had in that.
I think being in North Carolina allows us to have a very unique background, because I do not want to go to New York City or Miami, because yes, it's an interesting pool of people there, but at the same time, I feel like it can become polarized. So
it can become
polarized, like everybody thinking the same.
They're all, yeah, okay. Everybody sort of having the same thought, following the same trends.
Yeah, pretty much. Like following the same trend and so forth. But I think living in North Carolina allows us to be our own person. And I mean, the group of people that we have in North Carolina is really diverse, and we can reach out to those people and bring those in and collaborate in a way that haven't been done before. And I mean, there's a lot of resource here, and I think people will be surprised to see what we have here if they look for it, rather than going out to the obvious answer.
Justin, thank you very much for being on the program, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Justin LeBlanc teaches fashion and design at North Carolina State University, was a finalist on season 12 of Project Runway. Just ahead, Lee Smith gives us a preview of her new book, Guests on Earth. Stay with us.